All right, it's time to listen to what Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson have to say about why don't leftists like facts.
Jordan, you were speaking a moment ago about the sort of lack of meaning that people are looking for, particularly young men. And it really is a big thing that young men seem to have lost meaning. Postmodernism killed the scientific rationalist world. And the postmodernists have decided to substitute for that a certain utopian vision of the remolding of American society in terms of what they call equity, but really amounts to tribal dynamics. And you see this over and over, the radical left pushing its own version of utopianism. Classical liberals have been wrong-footed, I think, by the need for something more fulfilling, which is why classical liberalism always relied on an unspoken assumption that you were going to find meaning in your family, you were going to find meaning in religious community, you were going to find meaning in bettering your social life outside of government. But when that unspoken understanding just dissipated, when religion started to fall apart, all that was left was, well, let's just be rational with one another. There's not much inspiring there. And I think that's why you see that across the board.
Bro, put a gun to the head of every conservative to get them to admit that they're fucking conservative. I'm saying, like, not literally do that, but, like, that's the only time conservatives will ever admit that they're fucking conservative, dude. It's like, well, not conservative, but, like, Republican. They will literally use everything they can. It's like, classical liberal. I'm a libertarian. I'm a centrist. I'm a fence-sitter. It's like, the fuck? What is wrong? Just say you're a fucking conservative, dog. Just say you're a Republican. It's not that hard to admit. They just cannot. They literally cannot and will not admit that they are actually fucking Republicans. Like, they're so desperate to find anything else.
A drive toward irrationalism, a certain level of romanticism dominating the society to the point where irrationalism is much more prized than rationalism. If you make a rational point, if you cite data, very often this is now.
Dude, motherfucker will be like, I'm a classical liberal, which means I'm a liberal from the time when, like, people had slaves. Like, he wants to live in that world. And then he'll turn around and be like, I'm irrational and my enemies want irrationalism.
Now considered not only impolitic, but damaging and dangerous.
The other thing that ideology does, and the radical leftists are also very good at this, is that it provides you with a convenient locale for the existence of evil. And so if you reflexively identify the patriarchy with evil, well, first of all, that's a powerful idea. It's independent of its broad merit.
Dude, my favorite thing is when you're a disruptive thinker and what you do in your endless endeavors of being a disruptive thinker is, like, look at all of the prior power dynamics and instead of saying they're evil, say they're good. It's awesome. Like, dude, you're already admitting that that's what they've been doing this entire time. You don't have anything new to say. You're not a brave thinker for, like, siding with capitalism. Oh, look at me. I'm so brave. I'm being attacked for my good ideas that are disruptive and crazy, like capitalism good, communism bad. I'm crying. Patriarchy has been vilified for far too long. It's like, where? What do you mean? How? How? How has it been fucking vilified? Because a bunch of, like, non-binary college freshmen decided to say, like, patriarchy bad? Is that how we vilified it? Like, what the fuck do you mean? It's still a patriarchal system. Analysis of said patriarchal constructs does not automatically mean that, like, there is any sort of success or any sort of momentum in, like, abolishing it, by the way. Don't worry.
It's true. Now, it's not the only truth, and it's not the complete truth, but it's true. The reason it's true is because every hierarchical system tends to degenerate in the direction of power. And all hierarchical systems are less than they could be. And that's partly because of the possibility that power and deceit will corrupt them, but also partly because we're willfully blind and deceitful in our own personal lives. And so when you tell young people that the cause of the trouble they see around them in the world, and maybe even the disquiet in their own heart, is the malevolent inadequacy of their society, that rings true. And they don't hear the rest of the story, you know, and it's the rest of the story that I've been trying to tell. They don't hear the story that, yeah, don't forget about the evil and corruption that exists in your own heart. And don't forget about the fact that nature, this wondrous goddess as portrayed by the
Dude, the thing is, like, he is just... Jordan Peterson is the best at fucking just deconstructing radical and rugged individualism to its very core. He is just the most conservative motherfucker on the planet. It is ridiculous. He literally will strip conservatism to its bare bones and describe it to you like he's telling you something entirely different. Like, nothing he's saying right now is any different than people who say, it's not the system's fault, it's your own. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Think about the evil in your own heart. Okay, that's it. That's literally all he's saying. He can dance around that idea by using, you know, supposedly neutral language, like academic language to basically sanitize what he's saying. But straight up, all he's doing is repackaging conservative propaganda to you while establishing his intellectual prowess. You're just bitching because you have evil in your heart? I have so much evil in my heart.
Anti-human environmentalists, and by that I don't mean all environmentalists, by the way, that wonderful goddess nature is also trying to make you ill and kill you at all times. And so, but the story that corruption exists in hierarchical structure and that that's a consequence of malevolence, the malevolent use of power and deceit, that's true. So it's very motivating, especially if you're young and you're looking for an adventure. Now,
it's so motivating. It's so motivating, but also at the same time, like, you're not motivated, right? I mean, obviously, they're not making any fucking change. You can't. I thought it was liberating that you're basically not even fucking doing anything individually. You're not focusing on self-determination. You're not focusing on, like, individually bettering yourself and hyper-focusing on systemic problems, and you're shifting blame. You're abdicating responsibility away from yourself over to the back to the system, right? But no, all of a sudden it's very motivating.
It's also too convenient, which is one of its tremendous dangers, because unless you're taught to look within and identify the malevolence there as the primary moral obligation, then you now have an excuse and a moral justification to take out.
Hi-ho, it's quote mining we go. Yeah. No, Jordan B. Peterson is actually a profound intellectual. You're correct. And I'm simply just quote mining and putting words in his mouth. And he's not just like a regular old conservative. Also simultaneously happens to appear alongside conservatives exclusively. Goes on the Turning Point USA conservative platform. Talks about how women in the workplace and like sexual liberation has been devastating for women. But like uses pussyfooting language so you don't even actually understand like that he's literally saying that, or at least he always gives you an intellectual out by asking a question simply or establishing multiple premises for you to arrive at that conclusion on your own without him actually ever fully saying it with his chest. Or when he even fully does say it with his chest, he'll still leave you to interpret it differently depending on who you're arguing with. And also on top of that, he's literally just a fucking oil lobbyist at this point. But you know, he's far beyond my level of intellectual prowess, so I can't understand that he's just repeating oil lobbyist talking points to you. I mean, it's just fatherless behavior. You're fatherless, okay? I'm sorry, you're fatherless. If you like Jordan Peterson, you're fatherless. You are devoid of a paternal figure in your life, and so therefore this is the guy for you, okay? Unfortunately,
all of your negative emotion, your hostility, your resentment,
and maidenless too, fatherless and maidenless,
everything about you that's unexamined on the demonic enemy. And of course that degenerates with extraordinary rapidity, as we've seen over and over and over. So it's up to the centrists on both sides to deal with this. I've been talking to a lot of the optimist rationalist types on my podcast, Matt Ridley and Bjorn Lomborg and Haidt and Pinker, more distantly, but more recently, Lomborg and...
Yeah, dude. You know, the Jeffrey Epstein, friends of the Jeffrey Epstein folk, you know, good folk, wholesome, well-natured. They're such optimists and such rationalists that, you know, when they got on the Lolita Express, they thought to themselves, wow, what a scientific marvel this is. A private jet where you can get a foot massage from a 14-year-old girl. But also, we hate moral decay.
And Ridley and Marion Toopey, who's written a lovely book on human progress, 10 things everyone needs to know about human progress. It's something like that, huh? Anyways, one of the things we discussed consistently was the difficulty in promoting the message that all three of these men are very aware of, which is that from a material perspective.
Dude, even Ben Shapiro's like, I'm so fucking bored right now. I'm literally only putting you on here because it means clicks, okay? It means I can, like, reach back to an audience and potentially, like, revitalize your image, and it'll pay dividends in the future. Straight up. Like, straight up. You can see it. He's just like, oh, this sucks. And it does suck. He's so boring. He's so fucking boring. That's the worst part about Jordan Peterson. It's not even the fact that, like, his misinterpretation, his willingful misinterpretation created significantly more transphobia in Canada that even led to the Canadian Bar Association having to, like, actually fucking put out a note to ensure that people did not misunderstand the trans protection clause being added to the pre-existing hate speech laws. That wasn't even it. Like, that wasn't the worst thing he did, in my opinion. It's just that he is so fucking pathetically boring. No content. Like, holy shit. The fact that all these fatherless stem cell fucking weirdos would turn around and be like, look at this guy. What a prophet he is. Because they have never actually had a single fucking just a single piece of interaction with, like, the arts in any meaningful capacity before this fucking guy came in, that, like, they think he's the god. Like, he's just, you know, showing them the way. Fucking weirdo who cries about Frozen, you know what I mean? He, like, literally watches Frozen and cries. He cries about the Western decay. He's repackaging conservative propaganda, and conservative propaganda in many instances is basically the same as fucking fascist propaganda. That's precisely why he constantly talks about, like, cultural Marxism being a rot that decays the Western civilizations from within, which is exactly what the Nazis said, okay? They said the exact same thing, but instead of cultural Marxism, it's a cultural Bolshevism. They said the Jews were responsible for the degeneracy and the moral decay in their supreme Western civilization.
Difficulty in promoting the message that all three of these men are very aware of, which is that from a material perspective, in terms of absolute privation worldwide, humanity is way better off on virtually every dimension you could possibly measure than ever. And most of that improvement has occurred in the last 40 years, and it's been revolutionary.
Dude, it's like serfs being like, listen, my friend, I know that if me lord finds out we don't have enough grain for the winter, he'll cut our ends off, but at least we've got technological achievements to be able to plow the land now. We can now plow the land, whereas meanwhile, before we were under my lordship, we were left to our own devices, and the barbarians would come in and rape our women. We are much better protected under the banner of my lord. Don't try to improve the way we live.
Revolutionary in its speed. And no one knows this. And so it's very important to know, to try to think through why that is. Like, that's such a positive message. Now, I talked to Russell Brand about this, and I'm bringing him up for a reason. He's a lefty by temperament and by heart. And his first objection, but he's very thoughtful and quick. His first objection, you know, I pointed out all this data showing that by every possible objective measure, everything is way better than it was certainly 100 years ago, but certainly even 20 years ago.
Bro, this is so dumb. It's such a dumb argument, dude. Of course things are better, dude. There's exponential growth. Our living conditions have improved as a consequence of technological achievements that would happen regardless of whether or not we live in a capitalist or socialist organization of the economy that is completely devoid of the economic organization of society, okay? It's a mixed bag of anything. But that does not mean that things could be much, much better, okay? That does not mean that we should just halt progress. That's why I made the joke about the serf being like, well, at least, like, you know, even if we're not able to plow the land appropriately, our lordship will cut off our fingers, at least we're protected, you know, at least we're protected under our lordship's banner when we are able to run into the castle when the barbarian hordes are coming to rape our women and children. Like, okay, so what? Like, yeah, your situation is better. Now you know, now you have at least some kind of, like, ailment, right? If you have some kind of cure now, as opposed to 40, 50 years ago, when if you got shot in the leg, like, we didn't even know how to fucking tie it up, right? And you just immediately died. So what? Should you halt progress then? Should we not move further from the fucking Dark Ages, Middle Ages, whatever? It's so stupid.
Even on the environmental front in the main. And he said, well, what about disparity of distribution? So there's the problem of absolute level of wealth, let's say. That's improving. But there is still tremendous disparity. And of course, that is fair enough. You could even point out that the role of the left is to provide a conscientious voice for for that's constantly attending to the fact of continuing disparity, regardless of absolute level of wealth. And fair enough. But having said all that, it's a great mystery that incremental optimism is not sufficiently motivating. And you can't just wish human nature is going to change. It's not going to change. We got to tell a better...
Such a fucking lib, dude. Dude, that's the Democratic line. Like, that's literally the Democratic Party. He's describing the Democratic Party.
Better story. And I also think that's why I'm a target, I think, is because I am actually trying to tell a better story and I'm actually having some success with it.
So I totally agree with that. And that really does bring us to the book, because one of the things that folks should know about all of your books is that they are very intimate, very
personal. They're doo-doo. They're caca. They're terrible. And no one should read them, except for the part where you talk about fantasizing about your grandmother's bush at the pool. Yes, that's right. Look it up. Maps of Meaning. You're describing a cult leader.
I dreamed I saw my maternal grandmother sitting by the bank of a swimming pool that was also a river. In real life, she had been a victim of Alzheimer's disease and had regressed before her death to a semi-conscious state. In the dream as well, she had lost her capacity for self-control. Her genital region was exposed dimly. It had been the appearance of a thick mat of hair. She was stroking herself absent-mindedly. She walked over to me with a handful of pubic hair compacted into something resembling a large artist's paintbrush. She pushed this at my face. I raised my arm several times to deflect her hand. Finally, unwillingly to hurt her or interfere with her any farther, I let her have her way. She stroked my face with the brush gently and said, "Like a child, isn't it soft?" I looked at her ruined face and said, "Yes, Grandma, it's soft."
Jordan B. Peterson. Maps of Meaning, The Architecture of Belief. Oh, you guys thought I was joking about the fucking grandmother's pubic hair thing. You think Ben Shapiro read that part and went, "Wow, this is incredible. That's too wild for you to make up." Yeah, no, this is... Ben was like, "Wow, Jordan, incredible take from you. Thank you. I too also dream about my grandmother's pussy and bush all the time and then write it in my books." There's a lot more weird shit in Maps of Meaning than just that.
You talk about yourself, but you also speak in a way that most writers do not. You use second person pronouns. I mean, you speak directly to the reader. You say, "You feel this way. You think this way." And a lot of people read that and say, "I do think that way. This is a person who's speaking directly to me in a way that, you know, mainstream political books very often do not. They consider me sort of a widget in whatever ideology they're pushing, or they're considering the value of systems or not systems." But you sort of end around that. And I think that in many ways, that's what members of the left find so threatening, is because if you're a member of the left and you believe that all individuals are essentially just the outgrowths of institutions, and therefore that all change by individuals is going to be insufficient, and that it must be societal change that creates individual change, you're a threat, because you're telling people, well, you know, the systems can certainly get better, but the main threat to you is you. And that is a deeply threatening message to people. And if people find fulfillment in...
Dude, I know. Leftists fucking hate self-improvement. Leftists love to live in filth, dude. Live in fucking piss and shit and filth. Now, of course, I say this, but like, there are literally people in the chat who are like that. And like, to you, I say, ew, stop living in caca and pee-pee, okay? Like, figure it out. Take a shower. Like, there are, but like, for every 33,000 fucking leftists in here, there's only like 3 of them. Seriously. Like, even in this community, which is like a leftist community, right? There are only like a couple incels who yesterday, when we were talking about like self-improvement and whatnot, that immediately stopped me and said like, "Wait a minute, what do you mean self-improvement? Isn't that exactly like telling a poor person they too have the means to overcome capitalism?" Like, they literally were just like, "No, fuck self-improvement." Which, by the way, incels, not leftists. Remember, they themselves are not actually leftists. They are fucking right-wingers. They're reactionary. So only in the mind of the reactionary does the leftist believe that self-improvement is not something you can do.
In that message, then the left really does have a problem, because if people start improving their lives within the system and not blaming the system for their problems, and instead recognizing that they can improve their lives, that's what members of the left hate most of all. You know, you talk about in the book, Jordan, the fact that people are constantly coming up to you and they're saying things like, "You know, I was leading a dissolute life. I read..."
One thing that I think a lot of people get wrong, even sometimes leftists, but definitely just a lot of people in general get wrong because of the reactionary propaganda against it, is this notion that leftism is just about collectivism and it's not about individual liberties. You are missing the point. Even Karl Marx wrote about the individual liberties and a fulfilling life that every individual has in a potential universe, or the individual liberties that every single person should have, but we can only unlock these individual liberties, whether you want to, you know, fish in the morning and write poetry at night, or fucking think about philosophy because you're a fucking nerd, whatever the fuck you want. You can only achieve that through collective action, by bringing about a dictatorship of the proletariat rather than the current organization, which is the dictatorship of the bourgeois.
I read your book, I started taking your advice, and I've turned it around, and now I'm doing much better in life. And, you know, I'm blessed to have much the same experience from a lot of people who listen to the show, people who have been homeless, who now have graduated Harvard Law School, people who were single moms and then decided to take.
And the left fears them. The left fears a homeless person who just bought a house. Everyone knows this. That's why they're leftists, because they want to make sure homeless people stay homeless. Dude, how many homeless people became Harvard graduates, brother? What the fuck? It's the dumbest fucking thing to, like, still in this system. And, like, this is something you can calculate, okay? It's called upward social mobility, okay? The likelihood that you will be better off than your fucking parents. When you look at the United States of America right now, our upward social mobility is literally worse than all of the other comparable OECD nations. Straight up. Not exactly a great pitch for the land of the free, where, you know, everyone can pursue the American dream, right? If you don't have the one fucking thing that is, like, literally here, demonstrably, you can actually, like, be better off than your fucking parents. Look, move on to a middle class, the upper middle class. Like, you know, if there's less opportunity here, then you're just lying. You're just lying to everyone by hyper-focusing on singular acts of profound luck. Just like in the words of George Carlin, you know, it's a dream. The American dream is just a dream because you have to be asleep to experience it.
College course and figure out their lives, people who've made mistakes and turned their mistakes around. And to me, those are inspirational stories. I think that because those inspirational stories exist, that I think is why people find you to be such a threat. It's because so many people are inspired by the stuff that you say and change their life individually without putting all of their ire and focus on a system that the left is mainly focused on tearing down.
I defy anyone to go read 10,000 comments on my YouTube channels.
Why would anybody do that, dude? What a fucking freak. Oh, no.
Not come away with a much refreshed view of human nature.
He's going to cry.
The comments are, in the main, unbelievably positive, and not in-
dog, that's a self-report, dude. If you have mostly positive comments under your YouTube section, that says more about you. You are where the evil is coming from, then, okay? Because you go under any video, it could be like Baby Shark do video, and there's people saying filthy ass shit underneath it, which means they're coming from your fucking community. Those guys are literally pro you and anti everyone else, okay?
In a naive sense, they're positive in a thoughtful sense. And in a communal sense, because the people who are making comments on the lectures are also commenting on each other. And there's ideological babble on both sides. I would say that's probably 5% of the comments.
No one in the history of the planet has ever been like, oh, you think I'm a bad guy? Well, read what my followers are saying about me in my YouTube comments. What the fuck? Dude, this guy, brilliant. Brilliant, dude. God damn. Conservatives were so desperate for a thinker that, you know, they really latched on to the best dude they could.
And generally, I believe they're written by people who didn't actually watch the lecture because they're often out of context. But in any case, 95% of the comments are thoughtful, but also extremely positive, which is very rare in a social media comment landscape, which tends to be very, very toxic. And so I think that's absolutely great. And it certainly has that impact on me when I read it. But then here's something else that I've...
By the way, the funniest thing about this is that, like, I have dealt with Jordan Peterson fans, and they are some of the most annoying neckbeards on the planet. Like, they're fucking unbearable. They suck. I mean, they're in here sometimes. Like, every time I bring up Jordan Peterson, there used to be a time when they would just, like, come in to be like, dude, you're taking him out of context. 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 You know? They're so stupid.
Observed
and so annoying.
In the media attacks, that have been directed towards me. They're not just directed towards me. Well, first, they're directed to who they think I am. So that's kind of interesting to begin with. But more than directed to me, and more perniciously, is that they're directed to those who are hypothetically following me. Now, I don't regard myself as someone with followers. I regard myself as someone with viewers, listeners, and readers. And that's different. But in any case, my typical follower, so goes the story, is a disaffected, angry, young, white male. And for a while, I, in some sense, pushed back against that and said, well, my audience is about 70% male, but YouTube skews male, so that's perhaps part of the reason. And I see...
It's not 70, he's lying. It's 90. I'm willing to bet alpha male, RIP Kevin Samuels, had more of a female fan base than Jordan Peterson did. Because, again, at least he had fucking swag. Straight up. Jordan Peterson, on the other hand, is dripless and swagless and constantly fucking cries. You know who doesn't cry? I mean, he's dead now. But you know who didn't cry? Kevin Samuels. Just saying.
No evidence that it's particularly limited racially or ethnically, especially when I see my lecture crowds and when I meet people on the street. But then I started to realize that that was the wrong response. The right response is, why does it disturb you so much that there's a group of people who, by your own admission, are disaffected and angry and alienated and young, and I'm helping them? And why is that exactly a problem?
Dude, you're not helping anybody, bro. Like, you're not. You're just, you're literally reinforcing conservative values within a base that is, like, super susceptible to that. You first, on the one hand, feed them self-help bullshit that, unfortunately, you know what the thing is that's different about Jordan Peterson, actually? I'll admit it. I think, like, a lot of the self-help stuff is just, like, there's a lot of self-help out there that it's, like, catering specifically towards women, but there hasn't been, like, self-help outside of, like, I'm not gonna say, like, outside of the capitalist framework, because Jordan Peterson's a capitalist too, obviously, but, like, a lot of the self-help that is for men, either A, are not specifically towards men, or B, is very much like how to make more money in the workplace type things, right? Jordan Peterson, on the other hand, is doing like the exact same kind of like bullshit self-help without like redirecting it to the gym or redirecting it to like how to make more money and or three, how to get bitches. I guess that's the difference. Even though all self-help is bullshit for the most part. Imagine being a Twitch React any and questioning whether JP has literally helped tens, maybe hundreds of millions worldwide. Yes, yo, that's my favorite comment, dude. He said Jordan Peterson has helped hundreds of millions of people worldwide. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for being you, Tab Motez. It seems like he's definitely helped you a lot. As a female, yeah, he helped me stop putting on makeup for work because I learned that I was seducing my fellow men workers and stopped them from being productive. Yeah.
What is it that I'm supposed to be doing with them? Just out of curiosity, what do you think? If you had your druthers, would I ignore them? Would no one talk to them? Is that actually what you want? Well, the answer seems quite clear that that is exactly what's wanted. That's what's held forth, because there's this implicit assumption in all of this critique that in my very act of aid, I'm doing something immoral. Immoral enough to be parodied, let's say, as Red Skull. And so just what the hell's going on here? It's like, why is that now fodder for parody or slander, precisely? I mean, do you debate the fact that I'm helping? Well, you go read the comments yourself and see what you think. And so then,
That's right. I looked at the comments under one of my videos the other day. Reuper Heil Himmler said, "Thank you, Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. You have made me understand that the world is actually a lot better when I cleaned my room. I even cleaned up my Hitler poster behind me. Now I'm much more successful at radicalizing other people in my white supremacist self-help groups. Thank you, Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. You are right. Cultural Bolshevism is creating moral decay in Western civilization, which is superior to all other black and brown civilizations." I read that comment and I thought to myself, what are we going to do without men? These men, they're doing impossible things.
A bunch too. I thought, well, what is it with men? The men that I'm speaking to, let's say. Why are they responding positively? Why do they come to my lectures, the biblical lectures even, which is very surprising, right? Because what the hell are men doing at a biblical lecture, especially young men especially when they could go do anything else and they have to pay for it. It's like, what are they doing coming to this lecture? Well,
you're a cult leader. Sorry.
If the patriarchy is an evil tyranny, then the appropriate attitude towards any male ambition is to not treat it as ambition, but to treat it as nascent drive to tyrannical power, which is certainly what Foucault would recommend, for example, or Derrida, because it's all power. And so if you see some young man trying to stand up and better himself in any dimension, you're not going to trust that. You're going to identify that as the manifestation of tyrannical power.
Yeah, totally, dude. That's so right. Leftists are always doing this. Leftists are like, oh, wow, you're bettering yourself? That's disgusting. Foucault and Derrida would say that that's a manifestation of power and therefore incorrect and wrong. Isn't that right, fellas? I mean, we're always doing that. Whenever someone in this chat says like, hey, San, you've encouraged me to lead a healthier, more positive life, lost like 30 pounds or whatever, everyone's always like, yo, fuck you, dude, you fucking piece of shit. Imagine trying to improve yourself and like working out every day. Fucking fuck. Fuck you, dude. Fucking idiot. That's not praxis. It's the opposite.
And clearly, if the patriarchy is a malevolent tyrant, then any sign of the desire to contribute it to it should be at minimum not encouraged, but more subtly criticized and discouraged at every possible opportunity. And that's our culture.
Ay, ay, ay. Fucking awful. This is the danger of JRE. He raised someone like this in the popularity in the U.S. Dude, Jordan B. Rogan, okay? Jordan B. Rogan is responsible for so many fucking villains. It's not even funny. Like, he is just the absolute fucking worst. He's the white Kendrick singing about culture. Yeah, I mean, homie wore a fucking... He wore literally a tuxedo to his podcast with Jordan, or with Joe Rogan. So, that's just, I mean, automatic L, okay? Automatic fucking L for you. Not good at all. Not good at all.